Good morning and welcome, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Excited you're here. It is now Tuesday, March 27, 2007, midnight here in the Central Time Zone. And you're listening, of course, on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to you. If you're listening online at republicbroadcasting.org, welcome to you as well. Maybe you're listening on our website at franklyspeakingradio.com. If you are, of course, you can conveniently click on our guest's website, which is linked up there. And that website is www.americanantigravity.com. Please welcome the founder, researcher, journalist. He wears many hats. Tim Ventura, welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm enjoying it very much. When we left off, we were talking about these lifters. Now, obviously, I've seen some of these before, and obviously there's different theories about how they work. And you just mentioned one about, you know, sort of the where they would cancel each other out sort of thing. Or, well, you said
yeah,
it better than I
could. Yeah, and actually, I should probably give out another URL for, okay. You know, your producer had an interest in building one. And the URL American.
Well, I should point this out. He had an interest in building one because he likes toys, and he thinks that if he can build one of these, then he can, you know, for $5, it can lift him up on his roof, and he won't have to buy a ladder to clean out the gutters. So, you know, his interest is not in the science part of it. It's in the laziness part of it.
Oh, well, unfortunately, again, they really are kind of that tricycle stage, and probably not even tricycle, because at least I'll carry a child. You know, the URL that I have, and mm-hmm. I'll give it out again in a minute, is americanantigravity.com/lifterplans, and that's literally just lifterplans.html. So okay. lifterplans.html. And that goes to our old website. Basically, I have on the same server two websites, two mm-hmm. American Antigravities. The new one uses a pretty slick content management system, and it's easy to update, and it allows user ratings for stories.
Mm.
And then the older one I used to build by hand, and I got a couple hundred pages into that and realized that that kind of stunk. So,
oh, I think they're both fantastic.
Well, I appreciate you saying it. A lot of people actually prefer the old one, but, you know, I had to put the new one up before I found that out.
Yeah, everybody's a critic.
Yeah, you know, but either way, and the Lifter Plans is a single URL. Again, that's just americanantigravity.com/lifterplans.html. And that's the set. I took Jean-Louis Naudin's plans, the French inventor. Mm-hmm. I took his plans and republished them in a little bit cleaned-up format and step-by-step to try and help people walk through them. And so they're very straightforward. And then I put some links in to power supplies because the other challenge is it takes around 25 to 35,000 volts to make one of these things fly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not actually a lot of power. You know, I'm using, I can't even remember offhand, I think a 1 milliamp power supply.
Mm-hmm.
So my first lifter was using about 25 to 30 watts when it flew, you know, less than a light bulb. But what it did was step up the wattage stepped up the voltage to 30,000 volts at mm-hmm. the expense of amperage. So they're very high voltage, low current. Sorry. I don't know if it's getting late tonight, but can't keep my number straight.
That's okay. It's it all sounds right to me. So
yeah. Well, part of it is I haven't played with lifters much in the last couple of years, so I'm starting to get rusty. But but you know, it really was one of those simple projects that hit a niche, I guess. And I started doing a lot of TV and radio back then because of it. We had TV crews coming in from all over the world to film these things. So, you know, it was exciting to see a project on the Internet, I guess, done in an open source way, just kind of meet that kind of acceptance.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. So what about the size of these things? I mean, is it one of those ideas where if you build it big enough, it can then actually lift weight, or is there some application for this maybe further down the line?
Yeah, you know, a few years ago, everybody was building them, and, they, you know, they are a heck of a lot of fun mm-hmm. to build. But the largest that I built was 9 feet on each side.
Wow.
And at 9 feet, I actually had problems with the corona wire, which runs around the top. That was breaking because it didn't have enough structural integrity to keep it straight.
Wow. Tim, time for another break, my friend, if I can interrupt you here briefly. I apologize. Folks, back in 3 minutes with our special guest this evening, Tim Ventura, AmericanAntiGravity.com. is where you'll find all this information. Again, it's out there, folks. Just a matter of you typing in the web address and checking it out. Stay with us. We're back in three.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom."
Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing in nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, our special guest this evening from AmericanAntiGravity.com. Its founder, Tim Ventura. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks.
Boy, I got to tell you, you know, I just had to make a quick run to the bathroom, and as I'm passing by various people who are checking out the show, they're all just flipping out about these things. They've never heard of these lifters before, and they're just watching and reading, and they're just like, holy cow. Well, actually, they didn't say holy cow. They said a lot of things that the FCC would not like me to repeat on the airwaves, but it's pretty amazing stuff. You were just telling us about this giant one you were building.
Yeah, that was the reaction back in 2002, and you know, it's not my invention, and that gets us into another debate about who actually invented these things, because when you trace it far, you know, back far enough, Jean-Louis Naudin got it from a company in Huntsville, I can't even remember their name offhand. And they claimed, at first at least, that they got it out of an ionizing device inside of a laser that bent itself when they turned the power on, and they thought that bend came from lift, so they turned it into a triangle. But this technology was also very well documented and patented by a fellow named Thomas Townsend Brown in the 1960s. And most people credit him as being the inventor of it, and he actually had a device that looks just like the lifter on one of his patent drawings from 1962 or 63, except that there was a fellow before him named Alexander D. Seversky who built something called the flying bed spring in the 50s. And I actually have video footage somewhere around here. It's black and white footage of D. Seversky with this thing, which it literally does. It looks like a bed spring, which has thick wires on the bottom and a thin wire on the top. So instead of a foil, it's got wires on the bottom. And it flew also. So again, this technology's been around for a while, and I think
amazing.
I think that says something about a lot of these innovations that a lot of them have been around for a while. They just need to kind of find the right climate to develop in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, that's interesting because that leads us to a whole nother realm of discussion, which is, you know, technology versus, you know, the state of our culture. You know, where are we at, Tim, and where do we need to be for this thing to really take a leap forward?
Well, I'm not sure about the lifter specifically, but I think right now our culture is very invested in information technology. And, you know, we had a conversation earlier today where I think that's fascinating as well. I mean, that's my day job was in IT telecom, so that's right up my alley. But that investment in hard drives and fancy digital cameras and computers comes at a cost. You know, there are only so many people who go into these disciplines. There are only so many innovators, even self-taught innovators, out there doing this work. And right now, the lion's share of them are working with computers because it's a lot easier to sit down and write new software and be sure it'll do something than it is to build a new energy supply and hope that it does anything at all.
Wow.
So I think that's one of the detractors at the moment, is just that a lot of our energy in our society, our social attention is being paid to these IT technologies. And it comes at the expense of energy and probably some environmental stuff and, you know, definitely things like anti-gravity and space as well. So.
That's amazing stuff. Well, the lifters, when we were left off there, we were talking about practical applications for this in the future, for example. And you mentioned about how your wire kept snapping, I guess, because it couldn't handle the power load. Was that right?
Yeah, 9 feet is actually bigger than it sounds, especially when you're trying to store it in a garage. The only problem I had with that was it was literally too big for my garage. The garage itself, I measured the garage before building it. The garage itself is 12 feet, I think. I think it's one story. But the garage door, when you power it up, it hangs down below that a little bit. And so I had to store it at kind of a funny angle, which caused some problems. But, you know, everybody runs into these things when they're building their garage. There was another fellow named Russell Anderson who actually, that I know of, he built the largest. He runs a website called www.appliedelectrogravitics.com. And he had a 12-foot, he calls them beam ships, but it's almost the same thing. The difference being mine are filled in the middle with kind of a grid pattern, and he only built the outside. It was just one really big 12-foot triangle with some reinforcing struts. And he actually got this thing to take off and fly in a field, and he helped a bunch of high school kids at, I think it was Dearborn High School, build a couple of these that they won the state science fair with.
So. Wow. Cheaters, I call them.
Yeah. It was an interesting school, though. They had a media teacher who actually ran all of these projects, and apparently it was the children of a bunch of the Ford managers. I guess Dearborn is where their management shop is. And so it was a really well-financed school, great equipment, great funding. And I think the year after that, the kids were trying to build a paper computer where they literally draw out circuits with conductive ink on paper. So,
wow.
Yeah, really neat stuff.
That is really fascinating.
Beats my high school, that's for sure.
Yeah, me too, brother. Oh, that's amazing. Well, let's talk about, you mentioned about some of the conferences you've gone to. I don't know if I'm saying it right, STAIF conference?
Yeah,
STAIF.
That's an interesting one. It's more mainstream. It's kind of a watershed for alternative science because, you know, it's almost like never the twain shall meet, right? The mainstream people, the people with the funding and the academic acceptance and, you know, those types versus the guy who's working in his garage who just comes up with something and it works. You know, they, for some reason, they haven't mixed well in the past.
Really?
And usually the PhD types look down their nose, you know, at the rest of us who aren't quite as educated. And we tend to look at them as being, you know, academics who can't actually build anything, which is true more than, you know, more than it is not.
Right.
So, you know, both sides have justification there. And this FAITH conference, which started out as kind of this big University of New Mexico Air Force deal for nuclear power and space people, right, the stuff that powers our robot probes on Mars.
Wow.
The people who really got into that opened up an emerging frontiers section. I think that's Section F. It's Breakthrough Technologies. They opened that up, and they also started a space colonization section, Section E, a few years ago. And Section F really took in all of the academics who were trying to do peer review work in this field, and it gave them a place to publish, and it ends up in the American Institute of Physics Journal. So it's peer review published material. So for the first time in history, you've got anti-gravity being done in an academic way, and it's really amazing. It's kind of a watershed moment.
That's amazing.
The other part is the space colonization section. I don't even show up to cover that, but they have been rising to the challenge, and this year they were doing stuff that was just as weird, if not weirder, than Section F. So,
really?
Yeah, they were talking about... Well, for instance, what if you could use the Star Trek transporter and break somebody down to their constituent atoms and then send those through a wormhole to another planet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, could you rebuild the person there and get around having to have a spacecraft altogether? What if you could beam somebody to another planet?
Yeah.
You know, another idea they were talking about was, let me see if I remember correctly. I don't know if this is true or not, but one of the top engineers at Boeing Riverside was talking about something called the diver's reflex. And he said if cold water hits your face, your body begins to use oxygen a little bit differently. And it shows that we have some genetic adaptations to the way that we use air. And maybe we could capitalize on that for space colonization, you know, to let people take less air and get more out of it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, just little stuff like that. You know, you know, we tend to break our world down into these I don't know what you call it, these absolutes, you know, but there's always a caveat, right, to everything.
And yeah.
Sometimes those are good.
Hmm. So how much of that particular conference is just sort of, I don't know, brainstorming, and how much is actually applied techniques and things like that? I mean, are they actually working to build some of these things? I mean, will I wake up tomorrow and find out that they've built some transporter and, you know, save people on gas?
Well, I guess it's kind of I have a mixed answer because it is largely academic. There are experiments being done and reported on there. It's definitely not as hands-on as people work in the garage. You know, the lifter stuff was entirely hands-on, but there definitely are experiments occurring, although the downside is the aerospace industry in general has been struggling for a really long time. And there's just not a lot of money for these projects.
Oh, I see.
You know, and the other part, and nobody's complaining about it, but, I mean, the money that we're spending in Iraq, right, which needs to be spent there, you know, nobody wants to shortchange the troops on body armor.
Right.
That, you know, that comes out of other government projects.
Mm.
And those are the kind of funding projects that would fund stuff at this conference. Mm. So, you know, everybody's just kind of, you know, trying to do what they can and waiting for a little bit more funding to be available. But, you know, it's not a perfect world, I guess, and so
yeah.
We all have to kind of make do.
Well, you know, and that's really the fascinating thing about it is the possibilities. And obviously, just waiting, you know, for the funding, of course, allows for a lot more sort of research time. And when the money is there, of course, it will probably be well spent already. But at least they'll know specifically what they want it to go towards. Hold on a second, Tim. Folks, we got to take a short break, but we're back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Our special guest this evening, Tim Ventura. He's the founder of AmericanAntiGravity.com. Tim, welcome back.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. I'm just captivated by this information. Thank you so much for sharing it all with us. You know, when we're looking at amazing things and whatnot, you know, inevitably, as far as technology goes, people are going to invoke the name Nikola Tesla. And I saw that there was a Tesla Tech conference, and you have an article, of course, about the one in 2006. Exactly how does that differ from other conferences? Is it just a little more hands-on? Is it a little more does it focus on a specific area, or is it just kind of all over the place?
Well, Tesla Tech was started by a fellow named Steve Elswick, and I believe he lives in Arizona. And a lot of the inventors who show up there are from kind of the western part of the U.S. But you know, I mean, they have people from the South, people from the East Coast, and so it really is kind of a, you know, a national conference in that sense. It has around 600 to 800 people a year, so it fills a pretty good auditorium.
Wow.
But they have presentations on a lot of things, although it is kind of focused around Tesla to some degree. So for people who are Tesla buffs, they have a fellow there who runs the, I think it's the National Tesla Coil Museum or something like that. And he has got some really interesting stuff. At one point, they were using Tesla coils as like a surgical tool, right? A really high-powered one. But,
wow.
You know, so he's got all sorts of these weird Tesla devices that you just won't see anywhere else. You know, I think it's online also, so that's the faster way to get to it. But I don't remember the URL.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting conference.
Absolutely. It brought to mind, you know, they've got that Tesla Roadster coming out this year. This car is $100,000. It runs on batteries. It's completely silent. That's like, 60 miles an hour, I guess. Can drive 250 miles on one 3.5-hour charge. There's like 1,000 little tiny batteries in there. So who knows? You know, these things. And I don't even know how that, you know, really ties in with Tesla at all, except they named it after him. But, yeah, they're manufactured over in the UK, I believe, so.
It is interesting,
and certainly, you know, when you look at it, it's just a beautiful machine. I don't know. I'll have to get the internet address for you, but I was reading about it in a magazine. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff. And obviously, again, people start looking at this sort of alternative science. Inevitably, they're going to think of Nikola Tesla. But let's talk about your interest in electromagnetic propulsion. I mean, obviously, that is something a lot of people are extremely interested in because, again, you know, when you look at this type of science, this type of work, you know, people are looking to solve crises, real or imagined. There is an energy crisis, and obviously people are going to be very interested in some sort of, I don't know, end around the system.
Oh, now okay, and so it's energy and not necessarily propulsion then.
I think that they do sort of marry up at some level. But, yeah, I mean, anything, wherever you want to go, because the propulsion itself I think is fascinating, obviously, because of its implications. But, you know, most people, when they want society to make a leap forward, they want society to make a leap forward for them personally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think energy, it's a little bit different sub-community than I typically work in. There's a fellow named Sterling Allen who runs Pure Energy Systems, and I think that's the URL as well. But if you Google it, you'll find it, Pure Energy Systems. And he covers, he's very much in depth with kind of the new energy movement. You know, it's an area that I've covered a little bit, though, because I think most of us think to some degree that gravity modification and breakthrough space flight and new forms of energy are tied together.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it seems to be something like the Searle effect generator claims to do both, and a lot of them have claimed that once you modify gravity, the energy seems to kind of be self-perpetuating, you know, in some way. So it's an area that I try and stay abreast of, and a lot of inventors who work in one area also do work in the other, and so I kind of cover stories that way. But, you know, one of the most interesting for me was there's a fellow named Ari DeGeis down in, I believe, Georgia, although I'm not sure. And he's a Dutch immigrant inventor, originally from Holland, I guess, or the Netherlands. And he was in a business partnership with another fellow, Michael McDonough, that I know very well and trust implicitly. And McDonough tested a device that was claimed to be, they called it the plasma volt. It was claimed to be a low-energy fusion device. And ordinarily, I guess a lot of people might not know this, but, you know, you hear about these giant tokamak fusion reactors, and nobody can make them work, and they spend billions of dollars a year. I mean, this is, you know, government waste at its worst. you know, they're trying to perfect this or that type of fusion. Well, they've been able to make fusion happen in the lab for decades now. Philo Farnsworth, the inventor of the television, spent the remainder of his life working on fusion. And he came up with something called the Farnsworth fuser, and it actually does work. It creates fusion. You know, and every so often, some kid will get into trouble by building one. I mean, they're not easy, but they'll get into trouble by building one and, you know, kind of irradiating stuff. Usually not too badly, but enough that people freak out.
Wow. I'm sorry, we have another commercial, my friend. Hang on a second, folks. Just a short break, only 3 minutes, and we'll come back with more from our guest this evening, Tim Ventura. And, of course, more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Good morning, good evening, welcome back, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm just captivated by my guest this evening. If you've missed any of the previous hour and a half, you've missed a lot. Go back and listen to it in the archives or go visit the website, www.AmericanAntiGravity.com. Tim Ventura, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
I'm really enjoying this. I mean, this stuff is just incredible to me. It almost makes me wish I stayed in college, you know?
Well, you know, a lot of stuff in college either. It's that no man's land.
Yeah.
You know, it's in between. And, well, I mean, for instance, to wrap up the fusion thing, mm-hmm. Farnsworth Fusers, again, most people might not know this, but they've been producing fusion for years. The problem is you have to use these really powerful magnetic fields, and the magnetic fields take electricity to generate, right? Mm-hmm. So the problem is it takes more energy to create the fusion than you get back from it, and they mm-hmm. never found a way around that. It's what they call inertial electrostatic confinement, or at least one form of that,
okay.
Or IEC fusion. So people build these things, and they, you know, some of them leak, and that can be a little bit dangerous. But they build them from time to time, and that's the end of it. It's kind of a science fair project. Mm-hmm. In fact, a kid just got national headlines for building a really, really well built one at a science fair. It's one of those things that we write off, and we mm-hmm. say there's nothing here; it won't work. Well, Ari de Geis, instead of using magnetic fields to force these nuclei together, he decided to spin the entire thing. And it doesn't physically spin. What he has is a vortex, and the vortex uses the inertial part of IEC fusion to spin these nuclei together. And he's using light metal nuclei also, which aren't supposed to fuse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's got a completely different take on it. And Michael McDonough tested one of these for 6 months. De Geis had predicted potassium 40, which is a non-radioactive isotope.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was K4019, so it was a pretty specific one.
Mm-hmm.
He had kind of his own theory, kind of this vortex theory of everything, and it predicted that as the output. Well, McDonough ran this thing for 6 months, and at the bottom of his tube, he took it in for analysis. He had 6 grams of K4019, and the people who did the analysis were amazed because 6 grams is more than the entire world production of this same isotope.
Oh, my God.
Which is always found mixed in with the slag and breeder reactors. And here he had it, non-radioactive pure stuff. So that was proof in the pudding. I saw this thing in operation. What happens is the high voltage erodes these light metal nuclei mm-hmm. off a circular electrode, and they spiral down towards this pin-shaped electrode. And as they spiral closer and closer together, and they hit each other, and they shear off. And you literally get this explosion. Every now and then, you'll get a spark. And when it's connected to an oscilloscope, the scope was also in the video that I saw,
mm-hmm.
The scope just maxes out, and it comes back down to normal after it's done. So it didn't generate a ton of energy. I think he got something like 15 to 30 watts, but that's 15 to 30 more than went into it. So
yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was really impressed. But it was a situation where McDonough had some investors involved, and the investors tried to bypass him, and they went straight to de Geis. And de Geis, being an ethical fellow, he told them that he wasn't interested, but ended up souring the entire deal, and it just fell apart at the seams. So,
wow. Jeez, cautionary tales, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I can give out his website, too.
Yeah, sure.
Let me double-check it on my PC really quick.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic stuff. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, our guest's website, www.americanantigravity.com. Incredible amounts of information there. And you can click, of course, right off of our website at franklyspeakingradio.com. So, amazing stuff.
And Ari de Geis' website is www.amdgscientific.com.
Mm.
And unfortunately, at least last time I looked, he didn't have a video or anything like that. But what he does have is kind of an overview of the theory, and he has a really elaborate book. I haven't seen it myself, but I've met two or three people who have, and they were really impressed. So
that's fantastic. Is that? Do you think that's sort of the new wave of the future? There is just fusion techniques, or are people really starting to sort of think outside the box with these?
Well, yeah, fusion is becoming more. It's been palatable for a while to mm-hmm. the scientific community, and even a lot of these fellows who are building these tokamaks, right, spending billions of government dollars. Mm-hmm. Even a lot of those guys have ideas for different ways to do it that are kind of pet projects on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely an area where there's enough money being put into the main part of that science that you've got a lot of interest there, and people have just been working on it for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think zero-point energy is far behind.
Really?
Yeah, Dr. Eric Davis, Dr. Bernard Haish,
mm-hmm.
Hal Pudoff, another PhD, they were working on one that used the Casimir effect with a stream of hydrogen atoms between two plates.
Mm.
And the idea they were operating on was if the two plates are close enough, the atom can pass through, but it will force the electron off the atom. And the gas pressure, even if it's a tiny amount of pressure, the gas pressure will keep the gas going, but it'll shear off the electron, and you get something like, I think it was 30 kilowatts of potential energy there.
Wow.
It literally creates a current by splitting off electrons. So they did an initial prototype, and it wasn't calibrated correctly, and it didn't do anything. In that case, however, it had a 50-50 split. Apparently, classical or stochastic, if I remember right, electrodynamics said it wouldn't work, but quantum electrodynamics said that it would. So they figured they would toss the coin and see which had worked.
Wow. That is really amazing.
Yeah. I mean, these technologies are, they're everywhere, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's what makes running the website and doing interviews and stuff so fun, is that there are so many intelligent people doing so many just wonderful projects.
Mm. That's fantastic. You know, when you and I had spoken earlier, you mentioned about this this video that I should see, and I did, and I was really blown away by it. Before we talk about that specifically, tell us about the man behind it, I guess John Hutchison, because this, I'm baffled. I have no idea what's going on. I want to, and that's why I'm glad you're here. Tell me about this guy. What is he all about?
The Hutchison effect is almost like the one that, for me, almost like the one that got away.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of a pet project of mine. I guess the entire website's a pet project. He's kind of a special project himself, as you might imagine.
Yeah, and we should put this out there too. Just for those who are about to be blown away by what you're going to hear, and you will be, you have a compilation of a DVD that's available on your website, correct? About the Hutchison effect.
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah.
That's something that we sell, and now the video that you're referring to, which gives people definitely kind of a good feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the URL offhand, but if they Google Hutchison Heavy Mix, that was kind of that particular video, and it was for the soundtrack. But
mm-hmm.
But that's some of the classic footage, and it was just, you know, some of the bigger effects put together pretty well, and so it's doing pretty good on YouTube. Actually not the person who posted that one. Somebody else put that one up on YouTube. But,
wow.
But I created it, I guess. So.
It was great. Great music as well. Everything's fantastic. But let's talk about this guy. I mean, who is John Hutchison?
Well, Hutchison is definitely more the garage type inventor. Mm-hmm. He I guess you could call him a machinist. He's kind of the jack of all trades, master of none. He's had this incredibly rich and diverse life. I mean, he traveled Europe, and at the time he was well known for doing the Hutchison effect, and so he just went to all these different alternative science places in Europe, and he met with people. For instance, he's pretty good friends with Prince Hans Adam Liechtenstein, right, the ruler of the country Liechtenstein, who just happens to be into this stuff. And so,
wow.
You know, he's met all these celebrities and unique people and seen things that, you know, the rest of us would just die to be able to see. And so that's part of his character.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really laid-back person, really mellow, which makes scheduling kind of a challenge sometimes. But, you know, basically the effect is he was playing around with Tesla coils and a Van de Graaff generator, which just produces high-voltage static charge.
Mm-hmm.
And some RF tube equipment, kind of the old World War II style, the high energy, you know, high wattage RF equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to notice some interesting effects in the I think it was late 70s. And I guess one of the hallmark moments of it was I don't remember the particular instance, but he was working on this, tuning his equipment one day. He would literally just tune it in by hand until it felt right.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt a tap on his shoulder, and he thought somebody had walked in and was tapping him.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of brushed it off, and he was kind of like, you know, wait a sec, I'm working.
Yeah.
And he felt kind of another tap, and he did the same thing. He said, just give me a second, you know, I'm working. And then he felt it the third time. I guess he kind of whirled around, and instead of a person being there, it was a chunk of steel that was floating in the air that was bumping into his shoulder. It was just hanging there in the air. So I guess that was the part where he started to recognize that he really had something.
Mm.
And He and his then business partner, who's now almost kind of a Canadian national legend, George Hathaway. Mm-hmm. Hathaway went on to get a PhD in electrical engineering and has devoted at least part of his career to trying to figure out what they found. They have this effect where by using these combinations of equipment and tuning it in, Hutchison is able to make metals, plastics, wood, paper, all sorts of things melt at room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
He has one, all sorts of different, there's Hutchison's lost footage, which is also online, and that's in a little bit higher quality on the DVD, but it's online for free.
Mm-hmm.
If people do a search for Hutchison's lost footage, it should bring up about a 30-minute segment. One of the parts in there is an aluminum bar standing on end that's literally quivering, like if you could imagine a stack of Jell-O that somebody was tapping with a spoon. Except that it's a piece of what's supposed to be solid metal, just sitting there on a table, quivering. You know, the bottom is firmly planted and the top is wobbling all over the place. And this is probably 2-3 feet tall, maybe. He's had others where he'll have metals just turn into liquid at room temperature. He had I think it was a piece of axle steel or something, mm-hmm. High carbon steel, 3-inch thick chunk. Just solid steel. I've held what's left of it, and it's mm-hmm. solid. And it turned to powder in the middle and fell apart on
wow.
film. Yeah, and in fact, I didn't know this until I held it. I was holding these two, big, what looks like, it looks like somebody put them underwater for like mm-hmm. 100 years. They look, it almost looks like rust. Mm-hmm. And I asked him about it, and he said, oh, well, you saw this on film. This is this clip. And I said, that's this? I said, that. And it's in a lot of his footage. There's something that looks like a steel tube.
Yeah.
And sometimes it looks copper because of the background they shot against. And it's sitting there, and you see it kind of roll a little bit back and forth, and then it collapses, and the side of it gushes out as powder. Well, that was this 3-inch steel bar, or the steel rod, or whatever it is. And I held this thing. I was just amazed because it didn't look like that. So there's that. There's he has metals will peel back in layers, almost, again, like peeling an onion. They will peel back until they're finally separate at the middle. And when they do separate, after the field is gone and they harden, you have what looks like stringers of almost like mozzarella. You'll have 100 different stringers coming off the end. And once it hardens, the molecular structure is messed up. It's molecularly completely different than when it started.
Wow.
The metal domains are all out of whack. But atomically, it's the same thing. It's one of those unexplainables.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, he's also had levitation, and not just metals. And there's nothing connected. In fact, there was one video he did on the internet that people claim was the proof of a hoax or whatever, which was a different experiment. I know the filmmaker, which is I had to double check on that. But his classic footage, there are no wires, no strings.
Mm-hmm.
People have said that he's turning the room upside down. I mean, they're that desperate for an explanation. But you can see the concrete floor, and I somehow doubt that you can flip concrete floors upside down. So
one would think not, and if you can do that, that's pretty amazing in and of itself.
Well, he has a milkshake that glops out of the cup up towards the ceiling, and then the cup follows it.
That was, it was just stunning footage. I couldn't believe it when I was watching this. And it's only like maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes, but just, the clip that you had told me about, but really amazing. And like I said, I have no idea what's going on. Let me ask you this before we continue on. With some of these things, you mentioned that, the metal was tapping him. So obviously he wasn't floating. How is it targeted in so far as to say, for example, with the metal, it's either, just being pulverized into dust or breaking apart or melting. How is it targeted on that particular thing without it? Because, obviously, the applications for this would be really good for some things and really bad for other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Hutchison effect is almost a litmus test for how little we know, really know about the universe.
Wow.
You know? I've got a couple of pet theories, not my pet theories, but mm-hmm. pet theories nonetheless. I think that I have an explanation, but at the same time, even the authority figures, mm-hmm. Stanford Research, if I remember right, sent a team of military scientists who stayed with them for a while in the 80s. And they really wanted to know what it was because they
bet.
Thought they could use it or something.
Sure, they could.
And when they came away, they were part of a group that was they did the remote viewing stuff.
Hal
Pudoff, mm-hmm. and they were convinced that it was a psychic effect. They said, you know, don't bother because you can't do it unless you're him. He's tapped into the machine somehow.
Wow.
You know, but I don't think that's what's happening. I think what it is I think that it's a natural effect that we just don't fully understand yet. I have a hard time seeing this as psychic power.
Wow.
I believe that what might be happening with the jellification is he's using high voltage resonant frequencies,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's just knocking valence electrons out of place.
It's just mind boggling. I mean, I've really never seen anything like that. And I'll say this too, Tim. You know, I've seen on the movies. You know, when they have people floating or flying, and you can always tell they're on strings. When you see this stuff move, it moves different than anything that I've ever seen on film before. So that in and of itself is just it's just amazing. Stay with us, folks. We're back in three.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Listen, that's how I feel.
Good morning, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Tail end of our second hour already. Time is flying, and like I said, I'm just absolutely captivated by our guest here this evening. Excuse me. I'd like to give out our phone number. If you have questions for our guest, by all means, get in the queue and ask your questions, because we've done technical shows before, things that are certainly far, far, far beyond my capability of understanding. But you guys seem to be really plugged in, and I know there's always a lot of interest in this type of stuff. So our phone number, 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Our guest, of course, from AmericanAntiGravity.com, Tim Ventura, welcome back.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. I was just talking to my producer there about the Hutchison video. Just amazing stuff. You can tell that's old footage, but it just blows your mind. You've got this crazy Howard Stern scientist out there, and he's floating giant balls into the air. He's got that, the cup of ice really blew my mind.
Well, in its own way, it's addictive. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and for me, again, you know, as somebody who used to read the Popular Science What's New column, I noticed, I didn't take very much effort to notice it, that in the mid-90s, you know, really most of what they had was just kind of new hard drives. So it was like, where's the excitement?
Yes.
You know, where's the stuff that was supposed to be the future?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Hutchison effect, you know, it has that excitement where it's like, this is something radically new, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's not completely understood. And I ended up actually, the reason that I had the Hutchison DVD is myself and a few engineers and a fellow from Microsoft, or a buddy who works for Microsoft, we took a trip up there in 2005 and interviewed mm-hmm. him for probably about 2 hours.
Wow.
So that was kind of where that footage came from.
That's amazing. Is he still doing this?
Well, actually, there was a period for about 10 years where he didn't have all of his equipment.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Europe in the 90s and left some of his equipment with a friend, and it just got all mixed up. And so he wasn't able to do this mm-hmm. for about 10 years. And just this year, that same friend moved from one part of Vancouver, you know, Vancouver, Canada, to another. And they found this piece of equipment that they thought had been lost, and they gave it back. It was
one
of these RF tube generators. So for the first time in over a decade, he's able to make this work. And I'm hoping to take another trip up there and get some more footage.
This time,
the footage would be the device in operation.
Yeah, you know, and what's amazing to me is that, you know, you've got all of these things floating, just being pulled upwards. And as I said, you can clearly see that it's not on wires because it's not moving like it was on wires. Secondly, what's amazing too, and I think is probably a head scratcher for most people who are trying to debunk something like this, it's not just metal.
Yeah, it's metal, it's liquids, it's solids, it's things that are conductive, things
yeah.
that are non-conductive. You've got plastics, polycarbonate.
Sure.
It's really, it just kind of grabs whatever's handy and throws it up in the air.
Oh, amazing. And has he ever tested this on himself or on, like, the family cat? Or, I mean, not that I would endorse that by any means, but I'd have to think, you know, curiosity would, you know, play a part. Like, throw a little, you know, catch a spider and throw him in the mix and see if you can make him float.
Well, part of it is I think John, rightfully so, is kind of nervous. You know, it does. This is the same effect that melts metals at room temperature.
Yeah, fair enough. Good point.
But on one occasion, I actually asked him the same thing. He said he stuck his hand out and grabbed, I think it was a piece of metal or possibly plastic that was floating in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he's actually felt this effect twice. The first time it felt unstable. That was how he described it, as if it was a transient field that was kind of coming and going, I guess.
Wow. That is something else. Hang on a second, Tim. We have to pause here for a brief station identification. Folks, we'll take your calls here when we come back this hour. 800-313-9443. Our guest tonight, Tim Ventura, AmericanAntiGravity.com. Stay with us.